Well, Grace and Peace family, I'm so excited to be here with you today. My name is Pastor Derek Parks, and I have the privilege of pastoring Epiphany Church of Wilmington, just right up the road here. And so I'm so grateful and excited to be here with you guys today, and thankful for the Word of God that was read so beautifully. And so I'm just excited to jump into this series with you guys. Called God With Us. And so I have the opportunity to dive into a portion of scripture that helps us to look at God with the forgotten. And so I'm excited to jump into this today. I'm grateful for the opportunity. Pastor Nate, love you, brother. So excited to bring the word here in your stead. And so just grateful to the Lord for the partnership that we have in the gospel, as well as our One from Wilmington family, who we love. You guys have partnered with us so well and have been so gracious towards us as a church. Our little church plant would not exist in the city of Wilmington without the partnership of Brandywine Valley. And so we're so thankful and grateful to the Lord for you guys. But I want to jump into this passage, and I want to look here at what the Word of God has to say for us. And so one thing is very critical, I think, for us to understand here as we jump into this, this passage here in Luke, where Mary begins to go into song. And as Mary, she goes into song here, and she begins to celebrate and magnify the Savior. Now, this is so critical for us to note, because she has just had an interaction with her cousin Elizabeth, who, meeting Mary, the baby leaped for joy inside of her. And then she responds to Mary. Elizabeth responds to Mary by saying, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her." And that's critical for us to take note of, is because God cares about the forgotten. And as God cares for the forgotten, we have to gain a different picture about who the forgotten people are. And so as we look into this passage, in verse 46, Mary said, "My soul praises the greatness of the Lord." This song that Mary is getting ready to sing, this song that she's getting ready to invoke here, it's a song that resembles Hannah's song in 1 Samuel chapter 2, but it also has at least 12 other allusions to the Old Testament. Now that just means that Mary was a woman who drank deeply from the Word of God, and it was her heart, and it comes out of her heart through song. And so it's so important and vital for us to understand that as we meet the Savior, it's important for us, as we journey in towards magnifying the Savior, that we have the Word of God in our hearts. And so I want to help us today. I want to help us to see more clearly, because as this song as goes forth, I mean, she quotes Genesis, she quotes Deuteronomy, she quotes 1 and 2 Samuel, Job, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. She quotes so many books that Phil Ryken, who's a theologian, he said that Mary tried to virtually put the entire Bible into her song. And that's so, so important, because as we look at this, we look at the humble state of Mary. As she goes on, verse 47, it says that my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Here's why, verse 48, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. It's important for us to note here that God lifts the humble. See, God magnifies the humble. To magnify, this idea here, it means to make or to declare something or someone as great. See, Mary wanted to enlarge the Lord and zoom out on her blessing. She wanted to make it very clear that the blessings that she had, they came from the Lord looking down on her humble condition and having favor on her. See, when it comes to the forgotten, it's important for us to know that God favors the forgotten. And so as we look at this idea of God with us, God being with us is such an important idea, that his closeness to us, the fact that God is among us, the fact that God is with us is so important for us to carry throughout our lives, especially when we find ourselves in circumstances that we can't quite understand. Understand Mary here in this passage. Oftentimes we read the scripture and we disconnect ourselves from the reality that these are real people with real circumstances dealing with real life things. Oftentimes we look at these biblical characters and we think that they're characters in a movie. But the reality is that the historical reality of Mary is so key to understanding where she is, and that she rejoices in God because he looks at her humble condition. Mary is a young girl who finds herself pregnant and never having dealt with a man sexually. She finds herself in a position where she is carrying a baby and she did not do anything to be able to conceive a baby. Yet the Holy Spirit came over Mary and she conceived a son. Imagine for a moment being Mary. Imagine for a moment being her and dealing with the anxiety and the angst of this position. Imagine being her and having to deal with the realities. Oftentimes she was probably wrestling with whether or not she was sane or not. Oftentimes she was probably wrestling with having this strange thing going on in her body, and she didn't know exactly what to do. And then on top of that, imagine the ridicule that Mary was facing because she was a young woman who was betrothed to a man and he was not the father of her baby. Talk about Maury Povich and those kinds of shows. Like, this is where we find ourselves, and Mary here is lifting up the Lord because he's had favor on her humble condition. This idea here, it says that he had favor and that he looked upon her. Verse 48, he says, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition. In other words, I want us to see this. This word could also be translated that God gazed upon her humble condition. The Lord turns his eyes upon the forgotten. The Lord turns his eye and his attention towards those who other people have forgotten. And we know about the forgotten. The forgotten are all around us. The forgotten are in our space. The forgotten are all in our world. And we live in proximity to lots of people who are forgotten. And so I believe that it is critical and vital for us to see that as we approach the forgotten, we must approach them the same way that God does, and God approaches them with favor. See, he's looked upon her humble estate. He looked upon her lowliness. And see, she didn't focus on the position that she now has carrying the Savior of the world, but she was so stuck in the reality that she was pregnant and the ridicule that surrounded her life at this point, that she looks to God and she doesn't know what to do, so much so that she leaves her home and goes to her cousin, and she stayed there for about 3 months. She felt forgotten. Mary felt as if there was no one there for her. Mary felt like no one cared about her circumstance. Mary felt as if no one considered what she was going through. And as we look to this passage for guidance, as we look to this passage for understanding, we must consider that God is for the forgotten. In fact, I'll argue that God is with the forgotten. Her humble estate here, Mary doesn't lean on her exalted position. She doesn't lean towards that, but she leans on her lowly estate. And that's so important because John 4:10 tells us that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And if we humble ourselves before the Lord, then he will exalt us. Now, oftentimes we spend our time attempting to exalt ourselves instead of looking towards those who God wants to have favor on. See, it's not always enough for us to just in this season, and particularly in this season is filled with so many things that can draw our attention away from the Savior. There's gift giving, there's light streaming, there's so many things that can draw our attention away from the Savior. But the reality is that we have to keep our eyes fixed on him and not be distracted by all of the fanfare of the season. And the way that we do that is by recognizing that God is, in fact, with us. And so here's what my heart is. My heart is to communicate to you all clearly today is that God is with us all. And at one point in our lives, we were the forgotten. At one point in our lives, we were the forgotten. And so we cannot behave as if we don't know what it's like to be on the other side of being forgotten. See, oftentimes we find ourselves in the place where we don't walk rightly before God and we don't walk rightly in the reality that God remembered us even while we were in our sin. See, the scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't forget us, even though our sin condition caused us to be separated from him, but God remembered us. And it's so vital for us, so important for us, as we go on into verse 49, she tells us, she says, because the mighty one has done great things for me, and his name is holy. See, the greatest thing that God can do for the forgotten is to bring them into salvation. The greatest thing that God has done for your forgotten state was remember you when he was on the cross dying for the sins of the world. See, he did not forget you while he was being forsaken. He did not forget us when he was on the cross and it felt as if he was completely alone and that everyone had turned their backs on him. All his friends had run out on him. All the people who said that, I'll never leave you, all the people who said, I'll never deny you, all those people forgot about the Savior. They forgot about Jesus. And in his lowly estate, in the lowest point of his life, there was no one there. So much so that he looks to heaven and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus knows something about being forgotten. That's why he looks on the forgotten with favor. Mary rejoices for us in verse 49. She says, listen, the mighty one has done great things for me, and his name is holy. Verse 50, she says, his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed, verse 51, with his arm. And he has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their heart, and he has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. See, God's intention is to exalt those who are of lowly estate. And as we look around in our society, as we look around in our world, as we look around in our families, as we look in our own hearts, there is lowliness in our lives. We can look at any place. We can look at any point. You can ride into the city. You can ride into the suburb. You can ride all around you and see brokenness. You can see people who feel forgotten. You can see people who don't firmly see that God is with them. And as believers in Jesus Christ, here's what our responsibility is in all of this. Our responsibility in all of this is to exalt the name of Jesus and let any and every person that we can know that we have a God who will never leave us or forsake us. We have a God who will never turn his back on us. In fact, he says that, listen, I am with you even until the end of the age. God is with the forgotten. So in this season, in this season, this Advent season, where we focus on the fact that God is with us, we look back to his birth, but we also look forward to his coming, where he's going to be with his people, and we get to be with him. But all the while, he is with us. All the while, he is still by our side. And so I want us to understand this. I want us to know this, that because he is with us, verse 53 tells us, he satisfies the hungry with good things. God is the only one who is able to satisfy the emptiness in your heart. God is the only one who's able to satisfy the loneliness that you feel. And all of us are hungry for something. All of us are longing for something. All of us desire something. And here's what I want us to see. Here's what I want us to understand is that God has prepared for his people good things that will satisfy them. And in this season, right, we all want good gifts. We all want good stuff. We all want certain things under the tree. We all want things to be in our stocking and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is here is that the best thing that we could ever receive is to receive the Savior. And so I want us to be encouraged by that. I want us to be enriched by that. I want us to be helped by that. Because verse 54 tells us that he has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever and ever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. God has not forgotten us. Therefore, we should not forget about those who are lost and don't know God. It's on us, family. We have the great responsibility of being heralds of the good news of Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility of being heralds of the good news of the gospel. We have the responsibility to let people know that there is a Savior who has come, that there is a Savior who has come who takes away the sins of the world. But not only that, he comes and he declares that he is with his people. He's not like other kings. He's not like other rulers. He is with his people. He's not like others. He is different. He has come to give his life for those who are far off from him. And God wants us to rest in that reality in this season. There's so much forgottenness around us. There's so much of it. There's so many people who are forgotten. There's so much of it. In this season, there's so many people who are in need. There's so many people who are hungry. There's so many people who are in need of help, and God offers them help. But here's how he does it. He calls and equips his people to serve the least of these. He calls his people to serve the least, the last, the lost, and the left out. And when we do that, when we give up of ourselves to serve those who are forgotten, we in fact walk in the favor of God, because God's favor is towards the forgotten. And so, family, I want to invite us today. I want to encourage us to walk with God, because he is with us. I want to encourage us today to walk with God, to be with God, because he has not forgotten us. And it's critical for us to know. It's so critical for us to understand this, that the Word of God came in the flesh to be with us forever. And God invites us to tell each and every person that we can about the Savior who is with us for eternity. So family, I want to just invite you to that. I want to invite you to walk in that reality. And I want you to understand and know that God is with us in our forgotten state. You may feel as if you're forgotten, but God has not forgotten you. You may feel as if no one sees you clearly, but God has not forgotten you. He will not forget you. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness towards us. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Father, I pray right now by your Spirit, God, that you would help us to know that you are with the forgotten. And we all were in a forgotten state, and you remembered us. You cared for us in our lowliness. You cared for us in our humble estate. And God, we pray that you would help us to care for those who are in forgotten states. Help us, God, to lean into the truth of your gospel that promises us that when we are in you, that nothing can take us from your hand. And so, Father, help us to be heralds of that in this season. Help us to be ambassadors of that great news. It's in Jesus' name that I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Blessings to you, family. Thanks so much. Grace and peace.